Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Business news, views, and insights from across the globe.
Welcome, everyone, to our podcast series, Hidden Growth Champions. In our studio today, I've got Krishna Nadella. Krishna is a financial services executive who works with a fascinating organization called Symphony. So when we think about open and collaborative financial services and some of what digitization and financial services could produce, I've certainly enjoyed my conversations with him, and it's been great to when the opportunity arose to have him in our studio. Krishna, thank you for making the time. I know you're calling in all the way from New York, so it's early in the morning for you. Welcome to our podcast, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much, Sar, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak on your podcast as well. As you said, I work for a company called Symphony Communication Services. I serve as its global head of solutions, and the role that I play at the company is to really help spearhead Symphony into a new direction that it builds off its last 6 years. For those that aren't familiar with Symphony, we are a chat platform built for the financial services industry, or at least that's what we started off as. In the last several years, especially with the onset of the COVID pandemic, chat has started to take off across all of corporate arenas across the globe, whether it be work from home, whether it be remote working part-time. The idea of chat has served as a wonderful utility for people to connect. And so Symphony has benefited from that. But at the same time, that's not enough. With the onset of Teams and Slack, there is a whole host of opportunities for corporate clients to be able to have at their fingertips in terms of options to be able to connect. Symphony has made the choice to not only service its current clients from a chat capability, but also to evolve to become a workflow collaboration tool as well. The idea being, specifically for the FinServe community, we want to do more for them. We want to be able to service them not just from a communicative standpoint, but helping accentuate, accelerate, and expedite their existing workflow across the front, the middle, and the back office. There are many workflows historically within financial services that are quite manual, quite antiquated, quite underfunded. And we feel here at Symphony, we can enter those workflows and provide opportunities to automate, to integrate, and to ultimately embed our capabilities to allow for our clients to benefit not only internally, but between firms as well.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, lots to talk about. But I guess maybe just to start off with, Krishna, and just to give our audience a bit of a sense of how transformative this transition has been. You know, one of the things that we time and time again find working with clients, almost irrespective of industry, but certainly in financial services, is how these changes did not start with the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Many of these changes were already afoot. It was just a crisis not to be wasted. So maybe kind of take us through a bit of a historical view, looking at it with a bit of perspective, looking at it with a bit of a distance. What is really driving and got us to now embrace not only chat, but collaboration at this scale in the industry?
Of course. And you're right. It wasn't the COVID pandemic that was the instigator of all of this. If anything, it was the accentuator. Digital transformation, the concept of firms looking to become more automated and the ability to leverage technology to help transform the expediency and the efficiency of which they do work, has been happening for decades now. This is not a new concept. When you look at the concept of email, when it first came into existence in the early 90s, and how that was able to take us from snail mail to email, that allowed for communication to happen at a much faster pace. From email, we've been able to build an entire industry in terms of communication over the last several decades. But we've now come to another evolution, so to speak, and that is of chat. And chat has been around for a very long time. I want to be very clear. But chat in the corporate arena is one that was always siloed, always internal for the most part, and not necessarily as open as it has become today, and not as leveraged as it has become today from a daily workflow standpoint. I spent 10 years at a prior firm where chat was a part of its offering and was a utility for others to connect with each other, but on a more transactional basis. It wasn't necessarily the primary form of communication. It was still email. But you could already see the steps being put in place to really accelerate OnChat's capability. Mm. While I was at that other firm, I was also aware that Symphony was coming into existence in 2014. And that's when I knew there was something afoot. The ability to connect, the ability to find ways to speak with individuals when you're not directly in front of them, when you're not able to see them in person, was becoming much more appreciated and much more sought after. And so chat has been crescendoing for the last several decades now. And so we are now just at the apex of that. And the question now begs, how do we properly use chat? How do we communicate in a much more real-time fashion? And how do we integrate it into our current workflow when email has been here for several decades and has become the reliant form of communication? That is what we're now trying to figure out. How do we make that transition? Do we make that transition? And if we do, what are the steps necessary to ensure that chat is a better way to communicate than what email was for us, for many of us, for the last three decades?
So let's see if we can make this real for our audiences. What are some of the use cases that kind of really come to mind where the use of chat in the way you're describing it now has really made a difference? In what environment or rather the kind of the problems to solve that kind of come to mind and say, here's where this use has really transformed. Do any come to mind for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually part of our larger strategic initiative, which we call Prime 23. And Prime 23, as I have told many people in my time here at Symphony, is our strategic outlook to transform the company from a chat platform to a workflow collaboration platform. Looking at financial services, we typically divide it into two areas, the front office and the back office. Within those two areas, there are functions, there are areas that are very important to the financial services world, but are very antiquated. In the back office, areas like client onboarding, KYC, otherwise known as Know Your Client, task management, exception resolution, corporate actions, NAV oversight, net asset value is what NAV stands for. These are areas that have historically been very manual, underfunded, utilize spreadsheets, phone, and email, and they take a very long time. And the inability to expedite how quickly they are conducted has effectively caused a huge lag in the industry where so much more could be done and so much more could be done with those resources. Symphony has the opportunity to enter those workflows, such as client onboarding, to expedite the process and bring assets onto the bank's balance sheet. In the areas of exception resolution, to ensure that trades are completed and we don't have trade breaks that are outstanding for days at a time. Or KYC, to ensure that we are properly getting the right information about our customers and ensuring that they are qualified to come on board. This is something where something as simple as a communicative overlay or even a spun-up chat room can allow for multiple parties to come together to resolve issues and then move forward in a much more real-time fashion than what would have taken days, if not weeks, to go back and forth through email, sending attachments, picking up the phone, trying to ensure that the email was received, and then having someone send back to them versus a simple chat where now you can have all the information pre-populated. You can send the attachment through the chat. You can check to see if the chat was picked up by the counterparty, and then you can ensure that you can continue and maintain a constant dialogue throughout, regardless of what time zone you're in, regardless of where you are physically, and most importantly, regardless of whether or not you need to be in the same firm or on the same platform.
Now, I just want to take us back a little bit because, you know, this kind of transformation have gone through, and I remember from one of our earlier conversations, through quite a few pivots. This wasn't a straight line, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, how did you get from essentially being a chat application to this kind of functionality? Just maybe take us through the kind of the major transition point. And I'm really interested in the, not only in what the transition was, but really around the why. What did you see that made you think there's an opportunity here? We need to respond differently. If we simply kept on being what we are at the moment, same business model, same offering roughly, and just perhaps growing in scale, we're going to miss the opportunity. So perhaps you can take us through those major transition points.
I'd be happy to. Now, any conversation that starts about why we made this change has to start with our CEO, Bradford Levy. Brad Levy came into Symphony in the summer of 2020 as the president and chief commercial officer. And he came in with a strategic vision that I mentioned earlier, Prime 23. Brad has been in the collaborative communicative space for the better part of 20 years. And he's been observing much of what's been happening during his time at Market and then IHS Market. And even before that, when he was running the Principal Strategic Investments Group at Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. So he's seen all the major collaborative players. He understands the need to address workflow. And he's been surrounded by the fintech community for almost all of his professional career. So he knows what it means to work and collaborate with partners and be able to provide an ecosystem where everyone works together and benefits together. When he came on board as CEO in June of 2021, one of the big things he wanted to do was to ensure that we were not going to be just another chat platform. Hmm. Symphony had done a phenomenal job in its first 6 years, building up its user base. With now over 600,000 users, we are the largest global market network infrastructure in financial services. There is no other utility that has many users on our platform in the financial services world. But we also know that there's many other players in this space. As I said earlier, Microsoft Teams, Slack, which was bought by Salesforce. And if you look at the crypto space, offerings like Telegram and Discord are starting to make a rise as well. Chat on its own is not enough. Before the pandemic, chat was unique enough as a value proposition because it wasn't something we considered as a primary tool when we were all working in the office. Post-COVID, now everyone has chat. Everyone communicates on some level in a virtual environment. It is no longer a unique value proposition. It is a necessary value proposition. So what more are you doing to evolve? One of my favorite athletes growing up in Canada was Wayne Gretzky, the hockey player. Mm. And although it sounds quite cliche, there is an old saying that he said, which is, I skate to where the puck is going to be, not to where it has been. And that's what we're trying to do here at Symphony. And so that's where Brad's trying to take us into areas where we're not being perceived as a black box offering, where you have to come to our platform to be able to access our audience, where you have to be able to use our products that are organically created in order to be able to benefit from the Symphony platform. Brad has effectively shifted the entire company's philosophical approach on its head, where in the past we were closed off, we built things from within, and we didn't integrate very well with partners. We are now an open environment where we want to embed our capabilities onto other platforms, where we want to integrate with other partners. And from those two ideologies, we want to be able to interoperate on a go-forward to basis. Effectively, we've opened the door, we've opened the windows, we've ripped off the walls and said, we are not going to be insular and exclusive. We are going to be open and inclusive, for lack of a better phrase. And that has allowed us to now be able to work with some of the best fintech firms in the industry who have expertise in areas across all of client workflow. And instead of trying to compete with them and build our own product, we're now integrating with them. We're now collaborating with them. We're now able to put out offerings that benefit our clients, that allow for there to be efficiencies within their workflow. And of course, for us to be able to generate a separate revenue stream than what we would have historically had just with our seat licenses for chat. We've effectively changed our approach, not to deviate away from chat, but to evolve from chat. And now when someone is a Symphony client, they are able to get so much more from the offering because they're not just using us to communicate. They're using us to affect their actual day-to-day job and their day-to-day workflow. And that was what was really important to Brad, because that was what was going to allow us to survive and thrive. And most importantly, not just be able to succeed in this space, but move away from the idea that we're competing with the other providers and now instead say we're collaborating, which is a much more healthy and viable way to work in this new world that we're living in.
Now, that's a really interesting way to look at it from a leadership perspective. And I think you've described so nicely how a leader with the right vision can make a transformative change in an organization once they start galvanizing support. But I'm also hearing that as you went through the change from closed to open, from proprietary closed loop to move to something that's much more collaborative, open, interoperable, that brings to mind the whole concept of capabilities. There's certain things that you needed to be able to do and do well and do a lot of and do repeatedly and do transparently in order for partners to partner with you, right? And I guess the same on their side. So if I had to ask you with a little bit of hindsight here, is as you look particularly over the past year, and it's been a transformative year for your organization, what are the kind of things that you can say we can now do in our work with partners to find partners, activate them, work with them, generate value together, whatever part of the value chain we're looking at that you couldn't do 2-3 years ago, or to your own description, it was manual, it was cumbersome, it needed lots of phone calls and lots of verification, lots of escalations, that now you can say, we can actually do this now at scale because our partnering model has evolved, not just the offering.
So I'll take a second to talk about one of the offerings that I'm the most excited about, which has a very, very mass appeal to our customers and to our partners. And it is our embedded collaboration platform, what we call ECP. As I mentioned earlier, historically on Symphony, you had to come to the platform in order to access the network. The idea that the people had to come to the platform. But that's a very antiquated way of doing work, having to go somewhere. If you look at the model for retail shopping, Amazon has flipped that on its head. Now the stores come to you. Now you don't have to leave the confines of your home. You can shop for whatever you'd like on your phone, on your desktop, on your tablet. And so what Amazon has so effectively done is say the customer is in control and Amazon is defined by its customers. We've taken a little bit of that same mentality too here at Symphony. Historically, the people had to come to the platform. But now in 2022, the platform will come to the people. And what do I mean by that? There's a large audience within the financial services world that will never come onto the Symphony platform because it doesn't fit within their workflow. They already have a very set way of doing things. And to disrupt that workflow would add another step, would make things more cumbersome, and ultimately not appeal to them in terms of how it benefits their overall productivity. In order to appeal to those customers, Symphony has to go to them. The platform has to go to the people. So we are working with a whole host of third-party platforms in 2022 to effectively take our capabilities and embed them into these platforms. So the idea is you could be on a third-party platform and have access to the Symphony ecosystem, have access to the Symphony community, have access to the Symphony offerings, and you never leave that platform ever. And that allows for the platform to have more stickiness, to reduce context switching, and absolutely decrease the amount of risk that comes from manual entry and changing platforms. This also allows for more real-time communication with all the other members of that platform because you reduce the need for email or phone. And at the same time, you now have access to our directory of 600,000 users and counting who, should you need to connect with them to expedite your workflow, you have them at your fingertips. Now you take that concept, that embedded collaboration platform, and you apply it to not just one platform, but you apply it to many within the financial services industry, and there are many. You've now given the platform a value proposition that allows them to have their clients stay on their platform for more amounts of time, and you've given Symphony a value proposition where you're able to tap into individuals who are effectively now going to become Symphony customers, but they never have to log on to our platform at any time. The idea being you could be on Symphony and never actually be on the Symphony platform. And that's really the ideology we want to take in 2022, because now we're partnering with all of these platforms and all of these providers in a way that's conducive to their benefit and not just ours. And now what we see is a much more mutually beneficial relationship where both sides win. And that's a big part of who we are and a big part of the Prime 23 strategic initiative is to make sure that all sides have an opportunity to succeed. And the Symphony platform is really the communicative overlay that connects all of them together.
Yes. Now, Krishna, I mean, it makes me, you know, as you were speaking, kind of reminds me that of a conversation I've had earlier today with a number of executives in a financial services group. Operates in quite a few emerging markets. And what was really interesting in that conversation was the debate whether it is technology in technological innovation, which is unleashing these kinds of productivity gains, this kind of strategic collaboration that can take place and its many benefits, or it's actually changes to the process and human interface where we start to understand the processes and how they could become more human-centric. We start to understand, you know, how work in effect could be done differently. And the technology really is simply an enabler to that. It's a layer in that process. And it was quite a lively and a very, very interesting debate with lots of insight that came through. I'm just curious to know from your experience as you're making that shift, do you still rely on the core technology to allow you to do this? Or are you giving a different kind of emphasis to the human designed process that technology is used in?
I think that anytime you're looking to transform, you have to think for the future, but you have to address the present. And what do I mean by that? It's not hard to sell someone on the future conceptually. It's hard to sell someone on the future practically if they don't know how to get there.
Yep.
And so even for what we're trying to do, we have to make sure our clients' present needs aren't disregarded because we're trying to sell them on their future needs. And so the technology we use has to address the problems of today. And in doing so, that allows us an entry point, a foot in the door, to then have the conversation with them hand in hand as they look to pivot and change workflow for the future. I know that sounds very theoretical, but the idea is if you are trying to force someone to change when they're not ready, you will fail every single time.
Mm.
But if you take them along with a journey where they are feeling like they are empowered to make that change, and they're the ones who are ultimately pressing the button when they are ready to do so, then there's more of a likelihood of success. So when we work with our clients, they're in all various stages of digital transformation. Some are very far along and have done tremendous amount of investment and have changed workflows, changed roles and responsibilities, changed frameworks of how they do things. And when we work with them, that's a very different pace than working with other firms who are just dipping their toe into the digital transformation journey. They're not necessarily ready for the future because they're still trying to address the present. They're not set up in a way that they can forego some of their current workflow to be able to adopt new workflow. So we have to be able to work with them in the now. And as we work with them, show them what they can do together with us down the road in the future. And in doing so, it allows them to maintain their present, but also start to take the steps necessary without compromising their existing business model. And so it's very much a part science, part art. We all want to get to the finish line, but we have to remember how we get to that finish line is just as important. And many firms don't want to be rushed. In fact, no firm wants to be rushed on their digital transformation journey. And if we were to come in and try to disrupt that, we'd be no better than any other firm that comes in. When you're working with a firm, understanding where they are in the digital transformation journey is paramount. It's no different than a doctor who is meeting a patient for the first time, and they tell them that they have to have surgery to save their life.
Mm.
You could go in and right away say, I've diagnosed the problem. I know what I need to do. We have to go into surgery. And when you come out of this, you'll be healthy and you can live another 20 years. But what that doesn't account for is the amount of trauma, the amount of anxiety, the amount of risk that going into surgery comes with. Mm-hmm. That's just thinking about the end result. And you could probably have that surgery and come out on the other side, but it doesn't address all the issues that you had to take into consideration going into surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different with digital transformation. You have to make sure that your clients understand what's required of them, what's necessary for them to be able to go through that journey to ensure that they're able to come out on the other side and be able to succeed for the next 20, 30, 40 years. Because that's what digital transformation is all about. It's about ensuring that you can be around for not just years, but decades, because you've addressed the future and the present. But if you're not ready, then it doesn't matter how much someone tells you what the future looks like and what you need to do. You won't be able to embrace that, and you ultimately won't be able to benefit from it.
One of the things you shared with me as well, and it's kind of, you know, the reason as to why you've joined Symphony, the what appealed to you in an organization. When I think about the financial services industry, when I think about the great resignation and the number of people that are rethinking not just their workflows from a technical perspective, but from a personal perspective, what are the kind of things that kind of stood out for you to say, this is how I want to make a contribution, this is where I can make a real impact? Perhaps you can share that with our audience.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique to each and every person, so I can only speak for myself. But I had spent 10 years at my last firm, and I'd like to think I did quite well there. I was on a good path and felt like I was the master of my own domain. And if I had wanted to, I could have probably done another 10 years pretty easily. But one thing I remember when I first started my career was to ensure that I always was a student. I never stopped learning, and I always kept growing. And I always tried to make sure that I was a little uncomfortable in my career. It would be allowed for me to then be able to ensure that I wasn't getting complacent. And that was really important to me. When the job starts getting a little too automatic, where you're not necessarily pushing yourself, in fact, you feel like you can figure it out before the day's even started, that's a sign that you're not growing. That's a sign that you're not necessarily progressing. And for me, that was when I knew I need to go somewhere where I was going to be pushed. When I was approached by Symphony, the very last interview I had was with Brad Levy. And I believe it was his first day on the job. And he talked to me about what he wanted to do with the company. He talked to me about the journey he wanted to take. And he told me it was not going to be easy. It was going to ask a lot of me. It was going to push me beyond my comfort level. It was going to take me out of my specialty and be incumbent on me to learn things that I was not familiar with in real time. And normally, any sane person would say, why would I want to sign up for that when I have a good thing going at my previous firm? But for me, I knew that if I was able to thrive in an environment where change was happening all the time, where there was no black and white, but only shades of gray, and there was never a moment where I could sit and say I had figured everything out, because there was always something to learn. I knew my career would grow. I knew I would accelerate my knowledge, and the things I would be able to be exposed to would allow me to accelerate my career in a shorter amount of time to where I eventually wanted to go, which is to run my own firm one day. And so in order to do that, I had to be able to be a student again, take what I've accomplished in my career to date, combine it with all the new things I'm learning now, push myself much harder than I probably was for the last several years, and take some risks to really get to a place where I feel I'm now much more cognizant of the things I was deficient in than I was maybe at my prior firm, where I was very complacent. And that was really important, because it's the gaps, it's the deficiencies in our career that we need to address. And you can't do that until you get uncomfortable. And you can't do that until you try on new things, try on new hats, take on new responsibilities, do things that are unchartered and haven't been done before. And I've had the opportunity, in fact, I've had the privilege of doing that here at Symphony. And it's been a wonderful journey so far. I am so incredibly professionally fulfilled here. And I'm so excited for what the future has in store.
So perhaps just the last one from my side, and that's around, you know, if I take you kind of 5 years into the future, and you spoke about clients who are already well advanced in their digital transformation journey, what are the kind of things that you see them able to do, that you see them achieving a few years into the future?
It's an interesting thing. As you start to automate, as you start to connect people together, as you start to bring inefficient tasks into a more efficient place, what it allows us to do is start to think about more important, more global issues. And I know that sounds very expansive, but what I mean is, when you actually have the time to think, when you're not spending time doing things that are manual, mundane, and myopic, then all of a sudden you start to think about how can what we're doing not just benefit maybe our clients, but how can what we're doing benefit maybe our communities, our countries, our planet. And that's really important, because we're as a society only going to benefit when we're all able to think that way, when we're all able to free up our time to be able to be more strategic, when we're all able to think about the larger collective connection of the human race. And again, not trying to get philosophical here, but automation can be a wonderful thing. It can allow us to be able to start thinking about how we can address some of the real issues in the world. And the financial services industry is no different. What can we do to take our position in the world and be good human partners on this planet? And I think that's really the takeaway. I don't know if that'll be 5 years, but I'd like to believe that we'll get closer to that, where we're now addressing large-scale problems because we have the time, we have the capability and the means to do so. And we should be doing that now as well. But every time something gets automated, every time a workflow gets expedited, every time there's an efficiency that we find, it should get us one step closer to being able to do more with the time that we're able to have, because time is, you know, limited, and you don't get any more of it, and you always get less of it. And so the time that we have, we need to make the most of. And that's my belief, and that's my hope as well.
Wonderful. Last question to the youngsters who are joining the workforce these days, the youngsters who are making, I guess, different decisions to the ones we've made when we joined, the ones in kind of in their 20s, you know, thinking about where they want to make a contribution and are witnessing this transition taking place in front of their eyes. What would be your message to them?
I'll take another quote from my favorite hockey player, Wayne Gretzky. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And what that means is, as you're starting your career, take those risks, get out of your comfort zone, try something that's not already been done, because it's that willingness to think outside of the box that's what allowed us to have the Steve Jobs of the world, the Elon Musks of the world.
Yes.
And that's what goes back to my prior answer about being transformational on a grand scale. Don't limit yourself. Anything is possible, but you have to be willing to take the risk and understand the rewards that come with it.
Krishna, this is a great conversation. Really, thank you for making the time and sharing your insights with us, and giving us a really fascinating tour of the work that you do and your colleagues. Really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll speak some more.
Thank you so much, Sarath. It's been my pleasure and privilege.
Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Join us next time for more business news, views, and insights from across the globe.